Jeff Bezos' big reveal, Meet the Beebers, and pop music really was better when you were growing up. This is what you need to know. Good morning. This is Cheddar's Need to Know podcast for Friday, February 8th, 2019. I'm Carlo Versano here with Jill Wagner. Hey, Jill.
Hey, good morning, Carlo, and happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. Here's what's happening today, everyone.
Jeff Bezos has accused the National Enquirer and parent company AMI of extortion and blackmail. The Enquirer published an expose on the relationship between the Amazon CEO and his girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez, and that prompted Bezos, who also owns the Washington Post, to hire private investigators to look at whether it was politically motivated. Bezos claims in a Medium post that the Enquirer has threatened to publish his nude photos. And so he, in turn, published emails that appear to show the publisher attempting to extort him into backing off that investigation into how they obtained his texts. Got it?
Yeah. This story, man. I mean, we started this week with blackface. Now we're talking about nude Jeff Bezos pictures. So there's a lot to unpack here. One thing I never understood when the Enquirer went after Jeff Bezos a few months back on his affair was he's not really a household name. Like, he is to you and I, Jill, but most people, like supermarket shoppers, aren't dying to read about Jeff Bezos' sex life, which made me wonder, why did they do that hit job on him? Was it politically motivated, perhaps? Now the question is, what were Bezos' investigators onto that made the Enquirer so nervous that they came at a guy who has literally unlimited resources? I mean, Jill, did you actually read the Medium article that Bezos wrote?
You know what, I did, and I had, I think, the same reaction as a lot of people, which is that it made the richest man in the world a bit sympathetic.
Totally.
So perhaps this backfired on the part of the National Enquirer.
Seems so.
Oddly trending about this story, he used the word complexifier twice to describe his ownership of the Post. And I'm wondering, as was the internet, is that a real word?
Well, I actually looked it up in the dictionary, and no, it is not. It does not appear to be, at least, which makes me think he actually wrote it himself. It's probably been memeified by now, right?
Very complex. All right, House Democrats formally unveiled a Green New Deal proposal that would seek to make the U.S. carbon neutral by 2030 and also create millions of new jobs and a universal health care system. This measure was drafted in part by new Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she has made climate change policy a rally cry for progressives.
A journal columnist this morning called this policy a proposal, a parody of Democratic policies. But I think the idea here is not that this whole package is about to become law, which it obviously isn't, but this is going to become a litmus test for Democrats running for office, right? Do you support the Green New Deal? This sort of sweeping environmental and economic policy has long been kicking around in progressive circles. Barack Obama tried to elevate it. But this is the first time it's actually been put to paper in Congress.
And saying goodbye to a lion of the House, John Dingell, the longest-serving member of Congress in history, died at the age of 92. The Michigan Democrat retired back in 2015, but he was known for fighting against corruption and for consumer regulations. He helped pass a lot of landmark laws in the past 60 years. He had been called the most powerful man in Washington who never became president.
So John Dingell's wife, Debbie, was elected to his seat when he retired. That seat before him was his father's. That means that a Dingell has repped Michigan's 12th district for 90 years almost. Pretty wild. These are some of the bills that Dingell helped pass in his 50-some-odd years in Congress. The Civil Rights Act, Medicare, Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, Endangered Species Act, and the Affordable Care Act. An amazing guy.
For the second year in a row, fewer international students are choosing to pursue their graduate degrees in the United States. The Council of Graduate Schools says there's no single reason why applications are down 4%, but the political climate is a concern for students from certain countries.
Yeah, maybe they realize that grad school is the biggest scam we got going in this country. No, in all seriousness, a lot of this has to do with the travel ban. Applications from Iran alone fell 30% in a year. Now, keep in mind, international students often pay full tuition, which in turn helps subsidize American students like yours truly to get their graduate degrees.
The NBA trade deadline has passed with a flurry of last-minute deals. Among the blockbuster trades, the Clippers traded Tobias Harris to the 76ers. The Knicks dealt their star Kristaps Porzingis to the Mavericks. Anthony Davis not traded from the Pelicans to the Lakers as he requested, but it is likely that he will be over the summer.
Pretty big trade deadline this year. So yes, my boy Kristaps Porzingis is no longer a Knick. Tobias Harris, Harrison Barnes, Marc Gasol, some of the other big names. I do think that Anthony Davis, I mean, he's said that he wants off the Pelicans, so that'll be the big deal, I think, over the summer. And let's hope to God that the Knicks get something out of this Porzingis deal.
Meet the Biebers. Justin Bieber and Haley Baldwin opened up about their passionate, not always easy, but absolutely all-in marriage for a Vogue cover story. It is the first time the couple has spoken at length since they got hitched in a Manhattan courtroom last fall. Bieber admitted to having struggled with his early fame, including problems with drugs, sex, and depression. The pop star said he was celibate for a year until marrying Baldwin.
No chance Bieber was celibate for a year. You know, I have to say, as a cynic, this is actually kind of a touching article as far as these celebrity profiles go. You've got this, you know, young couple, famous couple, and they're talking about how hard marriage is, even for newlyweds, but how it's worth it to try.
And no, you are not the only one who thinks pop music used to be better. That is the takeaway from a study in the Journal of PLOS One, which found that millennials are more likely to prefer music from their parents' generation than contemporary pop music. So songs from the 60s to the 90s also remain more recognizable to millennials than hit songs from the last 20 years.
You know, what's interesting about this study to me, Jill, is the millennials are aware of new music, right? They know it's out there. They just prefer tunes from back in the day, which is evidenced by if you've ever looked at like the comments under a YouTube music video for any old song. Now, it's unquestionably true, in my mind at least, that the pop music when we were growing up was better than it is today. I mean, does anyone even argue that?
You know, it is so interesting. But I do wonder, doesn't every generation kind of think that the music from when they were kids is better than what the kids are listening to now?
Yeah, of course, right. I mean, it just shows that we're old, right? On that note, though, a new Ariana Grande album out today. She's good. We like her.
And we do know, Carlo, that clearly your Ariana Grande obsession continues.
Yes.
All right, you could sign up for the Need to Know newsletter on theneedtoknow.com. That's 2, 2. And that's what you need to know on this February 8th, and it's a Friday.
Have a great weekend, everyone.